You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
To them for doing that, but that's the churches. Give them the credit for the breakfast, not Luke's. Tonight we've got a very special speaker. I don't know how long he's been coming to the rec room. He was one of the first outside speakers I guess we invited, and this is our 13th year. He's always a blessing to us, and he's driven back and forth from Andrews many a time just to speak, and I'll let him tell his story. We've got special music coming, and as soon as that's over with, then Steve Southern will be here. He's done a lot of things for ex-inmates and their families, and so you need to get to know him. But anyhow, Steve, thank you for coming and being with us. And Brother Charles, who's you singing? All right. Okay, good. All right. Okay.
She's already got mine.
I do.
This, Mr. Norris, I think you all pretty much know her by now. She's been under the red room for quite a while. She's in the red room. Thank God that she's great. Love the red room. We love to hear her sing. She's doing a song she did for us last Sunday. Are you?
Yes, it is. Yes.
I love this song. It's still the greatest story ever told. It really is.
A promise and a song, a word too grand for any mind to hold. A tax law and a journey, a stable and some straw. Till the greatest story ever told. Thank you.
Thank you. Hey, man, that was good. That's what I come to talk about, his story, right? We're all history makers, right? The question is it going to be your story or his story? That's the question. Amen. You know, I had to laugh. I was coming here, and Leland, he said, I was kind of concerned you weren't going to get here on time because I had to rush over here. I had to work late today, and I made the door. He said, come on back here and let's get you wired up. That'd been a whole lot different to me a few years ago. You know what I'm saying? he said, what are you laughing about? I said, well, that phrase used to mean a lot different to me than it does today. Because I've been known to get wired up, right? I'm so glad it's different today. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't different today. Because I just want to come brag on Jesus tonight and kind of share my story with you. You know, I've been where you're at. My number was 527981. That's old school, isn't it? TDC. So, God's been good to me. You know, I love Thanksgiving. It's probably one of the favorite holidays of the year for me. Last week in my house, all my siblings were there, my brothers and my sisters, my nieces and nephews and my daughters and son-in-laws and granddaughters. We had about 40 people at my house. Now, that in itself is a miracle for me, okay? Because I come from a pretty dysfunctional family growing up. And to have some function in it and everybody getting along and man, we celebrated. You know, we had our traditional meal, and then I put some Cajun stuff up on the table. I boiled some shrimp for them and cooked some gumbo, and we had a big old time. Big old time. And everybody got along. There wasn't no fighting, no guns firing off, and nobody in the bathroom shooting dope. It was fun. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? And life has changed a lot for me. This year, next week, matter of fact, I'll celebrate my 25th wedding anniversary. Amen. I'll also be celebrating 25 years clean and 25 years out of penitentiary. Man, I'm telling you, God is a God of restoration. I'm here to tell you He's a God of restoration. You ain't got to go back. You can choose to go back, but you ain't got to go back. But there's only one way not to go back. You know, I tell you what, growing up, you know, I started using drugs when I was young, 13 years old. Can I get a witness? Anybody start early in life? Smoking that dope and drinking that Boone's Farm and in the alley. That's where I started. But I graduated pretty quickly up to the hard stuff, you know. It didn't take long. That wasn't enough buzz for me. I had to keep going. You know, they say, weed won't hurt you. No, it's a gateway. Once you get high on weed, then you just want something stronger. And you know, I'm singing to the choir here, I'm sure. But it wasn't, I guess, by the time I was 19, you know, I left home when I was 15 because my parents were squabbling. They got a divorce, and I didn't want to have to choose between the two of them. So I decided I'd go my own way. Like I said, I come from a pretty dysfunctional family growing up. No knock against them. I did the things that I chose to do. The things I did, right? You know, we can be a victim, or we can own our stuff. I choose to own my stuff today. You know, it wasn't their fault. It was just the environment that I was in, and there wasn't no Jesus there. And you live in an environment where there ain't no Jesus, things ain't gonna be right. They're gonna go south one way or another, real fast. Amen. Real fast. They did for me, and by the time I was 19, you know, I prided myself. This is crazy to pride yourself in this, but I prided myself that I had done every drug and drank every drink there could be drank on the planet at that time. If you could smoke it, snort it, shoot it, eat it, pop it, drink it, I'd done it. Now, that's crazy to pride yourself in something like that, you know? But that's the kind of fool I was back then. And got married for the first time at the end of my 19th year, and that was going to be my ticket out of that world, that madness of partying all the time. You know, you can't stay at the party forever, right? Sooner or later, the party ends. I was married for about 3 years, working in Oldfield, moved to Bryan College Station to get away from my old drug buddies, try to make a fresh start, and got a call on a suitcase job in Oldfield one night. I was 23, my wife was 21 at the time. Man, I loved that girl. You know how it is with your first love, man. You just say, hey, man, ain't nothing sweeter than that. And you just, I mean, you die for them, right? And then when something happens, it crushes you. I get that call about 2 o'clock in the morning, and it's the Bryan Police Department. And I thought, oh, Lord, what have they done found on me now? Because I had plenty of stuff they could find that I hadn't been caught for. You know, I always laugh when I do prison ministry, because I go and I say, well, you know, I'll be listening to a guy's story, and he said, well, I'm in here, but I didn't really do what I'm in here for. I said, well, what about all them other times that you didn't get caught? It's kind of a sowing and reaping effect, right? We don't always get caught immediately, and that's kind of what I was thinking. You know what? Okay, what? Which one could it be that they didn't found out on me? Well, my wife and daughter of 3 years old had been in a car accident. They were flying on the John Seeley Hospital in Galveston. I was in Gonzales working on a rig out of town. So, you know, I wasn't Christian. I didn't believe in God. God had never done anything for me that I could remember. So I didn't really believe there was a God. But I remember, it's funny, when a crisis comes, all of a sudden you're sure hoping there is one, right? When it gets down to it, you're hoping, hey, I hope this dude's really real, you know? So they flew him to John Seeley Hospital, and my supervisor drove me to Galveston that night. And I can remember for the first time praying to myself under my breath, pretty simple, God, just, if you're real, let him be okay. Just let him be okay. When I got there, I found my daughter. She was okay. Had a cut on her head, but no serious damage or anything. Her name's Jennifer. My wife's name was Wilma, and they finally told me at the ER there that she didn't make it. They had me in this little 5-bay room with a phone in it, and I got in and the phone rang. I thought, kind of a waiting area, and I thought, well, that's kind of strange. So I picked up the phone, and it was my mom on the phone. She is the one who broke the news to me. Man, it killed me. Anybody ever hurt like that, to lose someone that close to you? Man, I tell you what, man, that pain is real, and it's hard, and it cuts deep, doesn't it? It cuts deep. And so I went from asking God, if you're really real, from to be okay to shaking my fist at him up at the ceiling, cursing him. So full of anger, hurt, pain. Crush me. I remember saying these words, you know, from this moment on, I'm the one going to dish out the pain. I ain't taking it no more. I'm going to give it. I ain't taking it. Anybody ever made a crazy statement like that? I tell you what, the devil will honor that statement. He'll accept that vow. And guess what I did for the next 8 years? I dished out a lot of pain. A lot of pain I ain't proud of, okay? This ain't no glory in your shame deal. I'm just telling you, I'm trying to be real with you. I dished out a lot of pain. I hurt a lot of people, and I ain't proud of that. I got remarried a few years later, and it didn't last very long, about 18 months, because you know that cycle, that old drug cycle, you know? You try to do good, but until you get the Lord in your life, you can't get there. I went to rehab, I went this, and I went to that. I never did go see Jesus, so I never did get better. Pain was still there, and I'd push it down, and he'd come back up. when he'd come back up, I'd go shoot some more heroin or some more cocaine or drink another bottle of whiskey. I'd medicate it. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Yeah. Keep pushing it down. And I'd go to the store to get a loaf of bread and show back up 2 weeks later. I'd eat up Mulatto, Mexico, running dope, you know. That's, my wife couldn't put up with that, you know. So we ended up in a divorce after 18 months. That world, that crazy life will lead you down some bad roads, won't it? Real quick. So she burned off and just got crazier for me after that. And finally got busted for sales possession of heroin in Andrews County. First one ever, front page news. I was the hero of Andrews, right? Heroin dealer in Andrews County, small town. Man, I'd met a lot of people over there. One of them even let me come back in that town. And so I did the crime, so I went and did the time, right? Y'all know the deal. And best thing that ever happened to me. Best thing that ever happened to me. Because it was up in that county jail. I was cold turkey for about the 100th time. Anybody ever been addicted to opiates in here? Man, I tell you, it's crazy how you put yourself through that and you go through that 3 days of hell called cold turkey. Then 3 weeks later, you're doing it again. You know, I don't know how many times I went through that. And this time it was in the jail cell, so I couldn't go get anything to relieve the pain of heroin withdrawals and the alcohol withdrawals. I just had to curl up there and let her ride the storm out, right? And I never remember this. I'll never forget this one Hispanic boy. He walked back in the cell block that day, and his name was Ruben Salcedo, and he'd been downstairs, and judge gave him a dime on a cocaine charge, and everybody else come back that day, slammed the door, cussing judge and their lawyer and everything else. Yeah, y'all know how it is, you know. Somebody did me wrong, so then got me another dime, and you know, this guy, he come back, he made in, slammed the door, and he's kind of whistling and had a smile on his face, and I said, "Man, what's up with that dude?" You know, mom was sick thinking, I'm thinking, that he's got his mustache up in here somewhere. Ain't nobody that happy in jail, right? Nobody that happy in jail. So, I do what most convicts would do. I go corner him up. "Hey, Reuben, where's your stash at, man? You better come clean with it because I'm needing a fix." I'll never forget his response. He patted himself right here on the chest. And he said, "Steve, the only thing that I have stashed is Jesus, and he's right here." I thought, good Lord. You know, that would encourage most people. It discouraged me because of my past. I cursed God, and I'd hurt all these people, and people wasn't here anymore because of me. And I'm thinking, there ain't no way God would have anything to do with me if he was real. So I just shook my head and walked off. Well, you know, some of them Christians can be pretty persistent, right? Old Reuben, he just kept coming by my cell every day, coming by my house every day. "Hey, let me read you scripture, Steve." Stevie Ray, that's my real name. He picked up on that. "Let me read you a scripture, Stevie Ray." And I keep running him out of my house. Finally, after about 3 days, he come in there, and I obviously this dude ain't going away, right? He wanted me to go to a Bible study with him upstairs. And I said, "If I go to this Bible study with you, will you leave me alone? Quit coming by my house. I'll make a deal with you right here." This guy's getting on my nerves, okay? I'm just telling you like it is. And he said, yeah, come with me and I'll leave you alone. I promise. Okay, so. Now, he forgot to tell me it was a Spanish-speaking Bible study. So I get upstairs, and I understand a few words, but most of the words I understand in Spanish, they ain't church words, okay? I mean, I went to Mulatto, Mexico to run dope, not to go to church. So the words I knew, they weren't church words. And But it kind of freaked me out because I felt something in that place I ain't never felt before. And it was the Holy Spirit. I know what it was now. I didn't know what it was then, but I thought, man, I'm losing it here. Something happening to me up in this house. And he passed me this little folded up piece of notebook paper. And only it just had a few words. It says, "Steve, now's the time." It has scripture, Romans 8:29. So he gave me one little pocket Gideon Testament, right? A little brown testament. So I opened that up and I read that scripture, and it said, "For those that God foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, to be the firstborn among many brethren." Now, I thought for a minute, I said, "God, what does that mean?" And it just clicked with me all of a sudden that God has known me all along. Through all my stuff, he knew me. And he hadn't given up on me. He's still pursuing me. Still coming after me. Still wants to love me. And I'm unlovable. I'm way unlovable at the time, all the stuff I'd have done. And, man, it was like a ton of bricks. I just got kind of knelt down on my knees there just because of the moment of the reality that God was really real, and that he has known me all along, and he wanted to know me even further. So they gathered around me, them Spanish brothers did, and they prayed for me, and I didn't know how to pray. You know, 15 minutes before that, I didn't even believe there was a God. You know? And so I just said this. I said, "God, I don't know what I'll be, but I'll be for you." I've really tried my best to honor that with his help. Because it ain't about me no more. You know? It ain't about me no more. And I could give you a lot of war stories about my time in prison, but y'all all got them, right? So I ain't going to go there. I did the crime. I did the time. I got out, and I'd been divorced for 5 years. And, you know, usually you don't stay married too long in prison, right? Divorced for 5 years. God put me and my ex-wife, Dee, back together, and we got remarried. I'm telling you, God is a God of restoration. From the pit to the palace. You know, I didn't have anything when I got out of prison. Nothing. He restored my marriage. All my children come back home. I got 9 grandkids now. I love hanging out with little people. My favorite thing to do. See, God gave me a chance to do what I couldn't do before because of my stupidity and my craziness. He let me hang out with them little people. Man, ain't nothing funner than that. He gave me a good job. Got my GED while I was incarcerated. Got a job now that requires a college education. I quit school in 10th grade because I'm running the streets doing my own thing, you know. Just got a promotion last week. Got about 300 employees that work under me, and that ain't because of anything I did. I just said yes to him. That's what I want you to understand today. It ain't about me. I don't have those skills. I have what he gives me. That's all I have. And I've learned with him, if you give away what he gives you, he's going to give you some more. So my job is to give it away. So I try to give it away everywhere I go. Because as I do that, he gives me some more. It's that pay it forward deal, right? Then I couldn't find a church to go to in Andrews because, you know, everybody knew me. I was on the front line a few years ago, front page. So I'd walk in the back of the church and everybody would be doing this number. Oh, no, not him. So, and that ain't nothing. I mean, they were just responding from what they knew. And what they knew, that probably was the right response, I guess. But I almost give up. I went to about five or six churches and none of them accepted me because of what I'd done and where I'd been. But I went out to this one church. I go there now. I've been going there for 25 years. There's a lot of things started in my life 25 years ago. This is a good year for me. And I walked out there and there's a handful of people on a Wednesday night Bible study, and one of the ladies there was the secretary from the well service company I used to work for at Brownlee Well Service. Her name was Connie Awalt. She just come running up there and hugged me up and told me she loved me and glad I was there. I thought I died and went to heaven. That's because I was about ready to throw in the towel. I was about ready to give up. And she told me, she said, "I've been praying for 10 years for you." I said, "You've been what?" She said, "You come to my office when you worked at Brownlee and you had that old cowboy hat on with that red bandana and that faraway look. I knew you was an outlaw." So I told Jesus, "Get him, Jesus, get him." And Jesus told me that you belong to him. So I've been praying for you ever since that day. Man, you never know, right? And she said, "You see that lady over there? Her name's Dolores. She's been praying with me because I called her up right after you left my office." I said, "Oh, so y'all prayed me up into the penitentiary, didn't you?" Pray me in, pray me out. Whatever it takes, right? I'm serious when I say it's the best thing ever happened to me, because had it not been for that, I wouldn't be here today. Because I wasn't slowing down. I was one of them that thought you could stay at the party forever. And had he not slowed me down, I would have stayed at the party forever. So, when it says that God foreknew us, he knew exactly the steps we would take. He knew where we'd be. He knew you would be here tonight. And he knew I would be here tonight. And he knew you'd be listening to this old crazy ex-drug addict, ex-con, ex-fool talk tonight. Right? I say ex because I'm redeemed and restored by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? I'm a new creature in Christ. I meet people today that only know this last 25 years. I mean, they can't even believe that used to be me. And I meet some people that used to know me can't believe this is me now. You know? It's like daylight and dark. It's almost like a bad dream. So it can change. It can change just like that. Just like it did for me in that jail cell that day. Amen? You know, God's had me on the path of restoration ever since I got out of the penitentiary. Restored my marriage, my kids, my job, my church home. I'm an elder at the church that I attend now. And that don't mean nothing other than you're just a glorified servant, right? That's all that is. It's about serving people and about helping people. That's all it is. And my job, I first started work. I started working on the derricks on the drilling rig. Went back to work on the pulling unit, worked floors. Give me a rig running job. 2 years later, give me a supervising job, rig pushing job. Now, I used to push, but it wasn't rigs, right? 2 years later, every 2 years, he'd give me a promotion. I didn't ask for any of them. I just said yes to him. I hope you see a theme here. When you say yes to him, he can put you on a path of restoration. It ain't about us. It's about him. Are you tired of the revolving door? You tired of going in and out? You can change that tonight. I guarantee you can change that tonight. Just like I changed it that night, October 23rd, 1989. You know, I didn't even realize it, but that was on my wife's birthday. I always kid her now. She has a birthday. I said, "Yeah, I had one too, but I'm only 26 now." You're a little over 50, and I'm only 26. But it's amazing to me how God orchestrates things. Amen? So Leland's going to come up here, and he's going to give you an opportunity say yes to Jesus tonight. Okay? Don't let it slip you by another year. How many of you sick and tired of being sick and tired? You tired of running that same old crazy cycle? I was. And you know, it's really this simple. You know, I had a friend of mine, Joe, one time come and ask me. I was witnessing to him about Jesus, and of course he was trying to, he's one of my old friends, you know, and he's rolled him up a big old doobie. He said, well, and he likes to smoke weed. He said, I got to quit smoking this stuff to be a Christian. He's trying to gig me a little bit, you know. I said, no, Joe, you ain't got to quit doing nothing to be a Christian. All you got to do is say yes to Jesus. Right. I said, let me explain it to you like this. Do you have to get cleaned up to take a bath? No, you ain't got to get cleaned up to take a bath. You know, that's God's job. Won't you say yes to it? You know, let him clean you up. He'll do that. That's his job. It's really not as hard as we think it is.
That's right.
Because I hear people say all the time, well, I got to get it right before I come to the Lord. Well, good luck with that, because I ain't got it right yet. Okay? You know, it don't happen. You know, he's the only one that's got it right. All we got to do is say yes to him. Come on, Lynn. I love you. Man, I love this guy. He's rock solid.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank you. Bow your heads with me for a moment, would you? Have you thought about what you just heard? Heads bowed, eyes closed, if you would. Nobody looking around. I just want you to think. Think about you and Jesus. Think about where you're going from here. What do you want out of life? What do you want out of death? They're inevitable. And you'd say, Leland, I understand what Steve talked about. Been there, done that. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I want to have that joy, that peace that he talked about, that change. Would you just slip up your hand and say, Leland, pray for me. I want that. God bless you. I see your hand. I see yours and yours. You can slip them back down once I recognize you. Bow your head, please, if you would. I'd ask you to do that. Anyone else, real quickly, pray for me. I see your hand. Yes, you and you. God bless you. Anyone else? Yes, I see you, sir, and you. Yeah. I want that, yes. Now then, here's what I want you to do. The Bible said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, and with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. All you have to do is ask. Here's how he summed it up two verses later. Whosoever, that's anybody, shall call on the name of the Lord. That's something that anybody can do at any time, anywhere. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want you to do that as I pray. Our Heavenly Father, you know the hearts. You've seen the hands. And Father, there, every one of them is somebody you died for. You sent your Son to die for. And Father, help them tonight to turn it over to you. They can't undo anything. They can't do anything. but they can surrender to you. Help them to do that. I want you to stand to your feet, head still bowed, eyes still closed. On the very first verse that Brother Charles sings, I want you to come to the front and say, I trust Jesus as my Savior. Very first song, come on, right now. I want to trust Jesus as my Savior. Just as I am, without one plea. Come on, yes sir, there you are. Someone else, come on. You lifted your hand, do it. Do it, do what God wants you to do. Come on. Yes, come on, there you are, yes. Yes, come right on. Yeah. Ladies, we need some help over here. We got a bunch. Okay.
Just as I am.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.